They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Another billionaire facing charges.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. This morning, Texas billionaire Alan Stanford will appear in federal court in Richmond, Virginia. Yesterday, FBI agents in black SUVs surrounded his girlfriend's house and took him in. The SEC has accused Stanford of running an $8 billion Ponzi scheme. That lawsuit claims Stanford told his clients to buy CDs through his Antigua bank, overstated their returns, and then used the money for himself. Yesterday, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner was before Congress defending the president's plan for new financial rules. Today, European Union leaders backed a new regulatory system, too. From our European desk in London, Stephen Beard reports.
A draft communique from an EU summit in Brussels spells out some sweeping changes. There are going to be new EU-wide bodies policing the regulation of banking, securities, and insurance. A systemic risk board will be set up to spot credit problems before they explode. These bodies will have the power to guide national regulators across Europe. Graham Mather is director of the European Policy Forum in London.
There is going to be, therefore, a significant shift in power. No longer will matters be outside European supervision. The EU as a whole will have a grip.
He says Britain fought to retain total control over its own financial centre in London, but it looks as if that control has been diluted. The draft also contains an upbeat message on the EU economy. It says there are signs of sustainable recovery and that no further fiscal stimulus is required. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
This morning, Air France said it will compensate the victims' families for this month's crash over the Atlantic. 228 people died when a Rio to Paris flight hit stormy weather and went down. Air France has not admitted liability, has not said how much it plans to pay the families. It will start with what it calls a first advanced payment of about $24,000 per victim. Okay, let's check the markets now. European stocks are higher this morning by 1% and more. Asian markets rose as well. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P 500 added almost 1% and the Dow gained 58 points. This weekend, summer movie season rolls on. Earlier this year, the summer box office was shaping up to be huge, but Ashley Milne-Tite reports it's been a little disappointing so far.
Ticket sales rose 17% in the first 4 months of this year. Could that be recession-related? Jason Squire thinks so. He's a professor at the University of Southern California's School of Cinematic Arts.
My own opinion is that there was a connection between strong box office and the desire to escape.
But summer's the big season for the movie business, and sales are down compared to last year. Still, Squire says those numbers don't tell the whole story.
And should not be considered a negative until the end of the summer figures are in and the season is complete.
He says a string of potential blockbusters are opening in the next several weeks, including some much-anticipated sequels.
You have no choice.
Harry, no!
You must not fail.
Squire says the latest Harry Potter and Transformers movies could help push ticket sales back up. And even if a movie disappoints at home, overseas sales could more than make up for it. In Los Angeles, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
This week, President Obama said thinking about soaring budget deficits keeps him awake at night. There's an ongoing debate about this. With the economy so weak, how much should we be worrying about deficits right now? We invited two commentators, Will Wilkinson and Matt Iglesias, to give us their takes. And wouldn't you know, they don't agree. We give Wilkinson the floor first.
the real danger is that our foreign lenders are going to get spooked and think that we might not be able to repay the money that they lent us. So they'll charge higher interest rates. And when they do that, we'll have to spend more money to refinance our debt. And that's how you get into a debt spiral. That's when inflation skyrockets. That's when whole economies collapse. And I think there's a kind of American exceptionalism. We think that it's not going to happen to us. But I think that's just the same kind of wishful thinking that got us into the housing crisis in the first place.
I mean, I'm glad you brought up the subject of interest rates, because I think that's actually the right index to worry about here rather than raw dollar numbers. And now it's true. What happened in the 70s and 80s was that interest rates on the debt really did get too high, and it was a problem for the economy. And that's why there were serious efforts made to curb the deficit, to bring interest rates down, and it was successful. But it's really just not the situation we're in. Interest rates 2 or 3 months ago had hit sort of historic lows, and so now they're back up to where they were maybe 18 months ago. But that's fine. And in fact, with interest rates being very low, it's sort of perverse to be worrying about taking on debt.
Well, yeah, Matt, interest rates haven't gone up yet, but they will if we don't get our fiscal house in order. Standard & Poor's more or less threatened to reduce the UK's credit rating. And the same thing could happen to us. It's real. And when that rating drops, interest rates skyrocket, and then you get on that inflationary death spiral that could wreck the economy for generations.
It's important to take problems on in order. And right now we're in a situation when the overwhelming concern needs to be helping individuals get through the recession and helping the country's economy get moving again. Worrying about possible problems with future deficits, it's a little bit like standing inside your house is on fire, and you're worrying that it might rain tomorrow.
Yeah, I understand that Democrats in the administration don't want to face up to the fact that they're incredibly constrained, partially because of the reckless spending of the prior generation. But so far, we're acting like a guy who jumps from a 10th-story window and thinks it's going fine so far right before he hits the sidewalk. If we keep going at this pace, the sidewalk is going to come up fast.
Matt Iglesias is a fellow at the Center for American Progress. Will Wilkinson is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute. How much do you worry about the deficit? Let us know at marketplace.org. By the way, there's a bar owner in southern Spain who's telling patrons, if you're worried about the economy, take it out on our staff. He's even offering free drinks for creative insults. That way, he says, they won't let it out on their family. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.